141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a very busy day in Scottish football. Scotland finished the World Cup qualifying triple header on a high with a 4-0 win against the Faroe Islands. Scott Brown says managerial uncertainty played a part in his Celtic exit. Will that manager though be Eddie Howe? And Alan McGregor signs a new 1-year deal at Rangers. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Yeah, it was good to finish the international break off with a positive result. Much more like it from Scotland last night. Some good performances in there, and good to see Shea Adams getting his goal that he deserved. On the domestic front, good news for Rangers fans with Alan McGregor adding another year to his contract. Could be a significant signing going into next season. And significant news from Celtic, Scott Brown coming out, having his say. Everyone wondered what he would think about the situation going to Aberdeen. He's made it clear what made his mind up in going to Aberdeen. Will the Celtic fans be happy with that? Also, Nicky Hammond getting out the door. So the rebuild continues at Celtic every single day.
What's happening, Gordon DL?
Yeah, a lot happening, Gordon. Good evening, Mark Wilson, Celtic. Yes, there's been a lot going on. Good result last night. I think there'll be a lot of talking points, a lot of positives. Yes, you can go to the usual, well, it's only the Faroe Islands, but you've got to go out there. And I thought some of the football, and especially Tierney, was absolutely fantastic last night. Adams gets his first international goal. Nesbitt gets a lot of positives. And then looking forward to a really good Scottish Cup at the weekend.
Yeah, there really is so much to get through tonight, so don't hang around. 0141 951 1025. What did you make of the game last night? Yes, as Gordon says, only the Faroe Islands, but were there positives there? If so, what were they? We are second in the group. How does that leave us going forward? Give us all your thoughts on last night. Rangers fans, what about that signing? It's the one you've all been wanting. It was arguably the signing that you wanted above anything else. Never mind attracting new players. Alan McGregor will be there next season. How do you feel about that news? And Celtic fans, are we getting somewhere? Widely reported this evening, Eddie Howe has been contacted by the club. And what about the fact that Scott Brown admits that the uncertainty over the managerial position has played a part in him choosing to leave the club? That and anything else you think we've missed, 0141 951 1025, right now on the phones or Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's start with last night's game. It seems the obvious place to start. Stevie Clark says the Scotland camp's full of positivity after the first World Cup qualifying win that does move us up to second. 4-0 against the Faroes, as we said, which will be the last competitive match before the Euros. And Clark says it's an exciting time.
We were patient, we controlled the game reasonably well. Listen, they still had one or two chances, so we can do slightly better defensively, but things to work on. Pleased with the team tonight, pleased with the team. Overall, in the first 10 days together was good. First camp, 5 points, second in the group. Okay, let's look forward to September and the next games in the World Cup. Well, we've always got positivity. We sometimes get a little trickle of negativity coming from other areas, but within the camp, we're positive. We think we're a good squad. We think we can be a good team. We know we have to improve. And the spirit within the camp is good. So what's not to be positive about? It's 5 points out of the first three games. It's good. We've got the Euros to look forward to, which is the first time in 23 years we can look forward to a major tournament. What's not to smile about?
Good question. It takes a lot to get a wee smile off Stevie Clark. Was it enough to make you smile last night, Mark?
It was. No, I enjoyed watching the game. Now, people say it is only the Faroe Islands, but we saw the Faroe Islands play against Austria and they give them a wee scare. Listen, we saw Macedonia against Germany and how things like this, you know, don't go to plan. But I thought the team selection was correct. Daz touched on some of the performances, Tierney in particular, thought were outstanding. John McGinn just seems to get better with every game you see him, and he's scoring big goals for us at crucial times. And I was delighted to see Shea Adams get his goal. I thought he took it brilliantly. He looked top class, and it makes you optimistic about the future. I think 5 points from the opening of a campaign is not too bad. I know people were disappointed with Israel, and people expect us to go to Israel and win because we rank above them in the FIFA rankings, and there's quite a lot of distance. But international football isn't always about the actual rankings and the placings. These teams are hard to beat and tough places to go. I think Steve Clarke can be reasonably happy with a start to the group.
Right, come on then. Game last night, the standouts, the positives, the group as a whole, maybe the frustrations then, looking at, yeah, 5 points, it could have been more. How do you feel about the camp overall? Give us your thoughts. Gary is in Blantyre. He's going to take us away tonight. Gary, what stood out for you?
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Mark. And other Gordon. I think last night was a good result. Eventually, it was a good performance. The second half was better than the first half, I thought. The standouts for me would be for Kieran Tierney, as Gordon says, phenomenal, and I'll come back to him. But I really think that Shea Adams, I think the impact he could make, and Murray, he has made a bit of an impact, clearly, with his goal last night. The way he looks, the sharpness, not just physically, but mentally, he's a Premiership striker, and you can tell it, the difference. And I think he will score a lot of goals for Scotland, because we've got good midfielders now that have got the same kind of intelligence, that he can read their brains and they can read a pass before they play it, which will get him the kind of edge on defenders. And I think he'll score a lot of goals for us.
Yes, certainly hope so. Gary, do you think is he already, we've not seen a lot of him, but is he already the man with the jersey ahead of the Euros as far as you're concerned?
I think he's got to be. And I mean, that's just because, again, he looks a cut above. Nathan in the way for Lyndon Dykes has done well to come in. And Griffiths, he's maybe a wee bit away just yet. But even Griffiths at his best, I think, would struggle to get the jersey off Shea Adams. Just because of the sharpness of his brain more than anything else. I think he can read a pass. And you're talking about midfielders playing balls forward. Guys like McGinn, McTominay, if he gets back in the midfield, guys like Callum McGregor, who have got a really intelligent football brain. On a kind of a bigger scale, and I'm not trying to compare them before anybody comes on and says I'm top rotten, but how many goals did Lionel Messi score because he could read what Iniesta or Xavi were going to do before they've done it? It's just it's that sharpness of players at that level, knowing what's going to happen before it actually happens, which buys you a wee yard and gives you a bit of time, and I think Shea Adams has definitely got that.
Yeah, Gordon, what did you make of him last night?
Very good. Now, if you look at the squad that we've got just now, he would start in my team. Whether you look at, is he better with a partner like Dykes last night? Now, there's one or two times that they linked up, but I didn't look at it thinking that's potential of a terrific partnership. The one thing I do like about the boys is confidence. He's looking for his first international goal, and you look last night and think, right, Faroe Islands at home, probably create chances. This is the time to get my goal. And it was the fact he rolled his studs over the ball before he knows where he's putting the Gordon. And that's a sign of a player that's confident in his own ability, knows what he's all about. His overall game's very good. His movement off the ball's good. His touch is good. He's playing in a very competitive league, one of the best leagues going about. And he's scoring goals there as well. I know that, you know, he's just got into Southampton. I think it's 3 or 4 goals in the last 3-4 games. He's added that to his international career now. I just think he'll get better. And I think that the caller's right. See, like, say, McGinn in that forward role, I just think it makes such a difference to Scotland. The only problem I've got, and I think Steve Clarke echoed it, they'll have to work, because they gave away a couple of chances last night. You look at Craig Gordon's save, for instance, that's top draw, really is. And I just don't know if it was the fact that they were so confident to go and win the ball. You look at Tierney, for instance. Tierney just played like it was down the park. He was supposed to play left centre back. He didn't play that. He just went and played, and he was absolutely fantastic. But I thought there was a lot of positives last night.
What did you make of Shea Adams, Mark?
Yeah, I think he's someone we've been looking for a long time. If you remember, we were always grateful that we had two left backs that were potentially world class. You know, centre defence maybe struggled, but we seem to have found something now. Midfielders were not struggling, but we were struggling for a front man, an out and out guy who you can rely on. Now Lyndon Dykes has come in and done, for me, a brilliant job over the piece, but he needs someone there with him to carry the can, either as a partner or, if he's not performing well, who can come in and replace him. And I think we were chomping and changing. Naismith came back into the fold, went back out, tried different. Griffiths came in, didn't stick around enough.
McBurney,
everybody had their opinions on him. I think Shea Adams looks the part. I think Daz is right with the goal. Just the wee thing, rolling his studs over, a player with a wee bit of arrogance, wee bit of confidence, real stature about him. And Daz is right, he's playing in the top league. you know, in the world. He's holding down his place in a decent Southampton team. I'm excited about him, seeing him going to the Euros, and I think he could be one who could have a bright Scotland future in the next few years.
Gary, what about the partnership with Lyndon Dykes? Well, is that the right way to go? Do you think in the fullness of time it will be Shea Adams instead of Lyndon Dykes?
TBC, I think they still go to get him a chance to work together. I mean, I think he's a perfect foil for a target man, with that kind of nippiness and the speed he's got, and again, the intelligence to know where the header's going to go if it gets knocked on. I would give him another. I don't know, there's the next meaningful game is the Euros, but I think they were saying last night there's going to be a couple of friendlies before then. I'd maybe give them another game just to see if they can click. But again, I'll leave up to Steve Clark. I just think Shea Adams, now that he gets his first goal, it's took about the kind of pressure off his shoulders. So I think coming into the squad, because he what had went before and he had knocked back Scotland apparently in the years gone by and knew he was wanting to come, I think he'd have a bit to prove. And I think now that the shackles are off and his first goal's been scored, I think he's going to get better.
Yeah, that's a fair point, because, well, this happens at club level as well, but it definitely happens at international level. People start counting how many games it takes, how many caps it takes for a striker to get their first goal. Every time Ollie McBurnie comes on, that's the stat. X amount of caps, no goals. So to do it in, what was it, his third appearance? Over the triple header. So to do it in his third appearance, Gordon, and maybe as Gary says with that, for some people hanging over his head about his desire to play, having knocked Scotland back previously, does it put a lot of that to bed? Does it take pressure off?
100%. It doesn't matter whether you knock Scotland back or whatever, and you can put everything into the pot and say, well, X, Y and Z. It's when you turn up as a striker at any club, whether it be club football, international football, as a striker, people don't talk about how well you've played. They talk about when you score your goal. Like, look at Morelos, for instance, at Rangers. Every talk was about he's not scored against Celtic, and yet he's banged goals in Europe, banged goals in for Rangers left, right and centre. And it was the same with Adams. And as a striker, Gordon, you look at games, for instance, and he got an opportunity last night, Faroe Islands. Now, if he comes off the pitch last night and he's not scored, he's probably looking at that thinking, that may be just something I've missed here. But it was the way he took his goal. See, the minute he rolled his studs over it, you're thinking, there's only one place this ball's going. I think the guy's the real deal for Scotland. I think he gives us that pace as well. In the first half, he went down the left-hand side and he opened up his legs and just went away for people like they weren't even there. I just don't know, is he a striker that plays with a Dykes, or is he a striker that plays up there and people playing off him?
Well, he's in a two at Southampton, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think he can do both roles, Gordon, which is a positive for us.
Gary, I know you had one other point, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, just to echo what Gordon said about Kieran Tierney. I mean, it's hard to believe he was playing centre-half last night. And again, it's the Faroes, yet they're not the best in the world. But the fact that your centre-half had three assists, and the ease at which they get by players. I mean, I'm a Celtic fan, all right, so I've always liked Kieran Tierney. But I don't think anybody can deny the levels he is reaching and still the potential that's there. I've never seen anybody with the pace over 5 yards to knock the ball by an opposition player to get to the byline to create space for a cross. I've never seen anybody with that pace, the 5 yard pace, just to knock it by them, surge past them, and they've got time to look up and pick passes, which he did last night, clearly for the first two goals. It's just a phenomenal player, and we're lucky to have him. As well as Andy Robertson, I will say that as well. But
yeah, I think actually, funnily enough, James is going to come into the conversation in a minute and make a point about those two together. But Gary's raised, you know, Kieran Tierney individually, Mark. To put it simply, how good is he at the moment?
Listen, he's exceptional, and it's hard to believe that he's getting better. You know, because when he was up here, and, you know, people knock our league all they want, but he was unbelievable up here. Then he took it to the European level, and he was very good on that stage. Now he's taking it to a different level in the Premier League in England and with Scotland. And Gary touched on there the potential he's got to get even better. It's brilliant watching him.
Yeah, James is in Kings Park. Thank you, Gary. That was an excellent call to kick us off. James has got some thoughts on that. Robertson and Tierney together. James, what did you make of them last night?
I thought in Tottenham it was I mean, the first half wasn't great, but in the full picture, I think it was a good result. But just I tried to get on. I think it was last week when, you know, the debate was going about can Tierney and Robertson play in the same team, and I was just trying to sort of stick up for Robertson in the sense that, you know, he's training every day, other full players, right? And I know, you know, it's hard to compare, but he's firing balls into Mane, Salah, Firmino, even Henderson in the middle of the park. You've got to have a bit of perspective when, you know, as good as John McGinn is he as good as Jordan Henderson, or as good as Lyndon Dykes is he going to take a touch the way Firmino would, or is he going to make the same run? So I think people need to, like, we're doing the best with what we've got, in my opinion. And obviously last night you're starting to see the benefit of that, because I thought Tierney and Robertson, I think even Robertson mentioned it after the game as well, like, Tierney was just up and doing all night, which, and for centre-half as well. But Gordon kind of stole my thunder. It was Mark kind of stole my thunder. I was going to say, you guys were saying it was only the Faroe Islands we beat, but obviously, massive, not massive, I got a little against Germany, so it kind of put my gas at a peak, but that's all right.
You put it much better than he did, James. He teed it up and you've knocked it in. But yeah, that was a great example of, and there's been loads over the last few days, if you're not at it, you'll lose. People will look at the odd one, the Denmark 8, Moldova 0, and think, oh, come on, there are easy games in international football. And of course they are. But over the piece, if you're not at it, North Macedonia will beat Germany, Luxembourg will beat the Republic of Ireland, Spain will take a last minute winner to beat Georgia. You know, if you're not at it, and there have been umpteen examples. We said it on last night's show as well, This Faroe Islands is not the Faroe Islands that Bertie Vokes drew with. They are much, much improved now. I admit that the world rankings isn't everything, right? But as a rough guide, I think there's about 210 teams in the world rankings. San Marino right at the bottom, who we've played previously. I think the Faroes are about 107th. No, they're halfway up. They're above the likes of Lithuania and Latvia, who we used to always see as those potential banana skin. So a 4-0 was a solid showing last night.
I think night. So. Listen, and
why do we do this? Because I noticed this on social media as well. You see people saying, right, hold on, don't get carried away. It was only the Faroes. I see more people saying don't get carried away than people actually getting carried away.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone get carried away, but there's always people out there who want to warn against it.
It's in our nature, Gordon, that whatever our national team do, it's not good enough for some people. They will detract at the first chance they get. And if we beat Faroe Islands 4-0, well, so be it. I mean, did England, what was England scored against? Was it San Marino last week? Was it not only 5-0 or something like that? So international football, you touched on it there. The Faroe Islands are not the same Faroe Islands as it was 15 years ago. And same with all the other minnows, or so-called minnows. The bridge has been, the gap's been bridged a wee bit over the years. And we should be grateful that we've got players that can handle the pressure of being favourites going into these games, because quite often we haven't dealt with that particularly well.
James, 4 goals last night, all set up by Tierney or Robertson. Robertson gets one, Tierney gets the other 3. They were all excellent in their own way. Is that proof then that they can play together, or is that the bit that we need to bear in mind the opposition and think that maybe there are other games that it won't be quite as easy?
No, I think it's proof that it's starting to come together. I think the fact that Tierney, like, he's, I know it's to mention, but he's just like so strong and so quick, and that's coming from Rangers fan. I think, see, when he's coming out for the back as well, it gives us the opposition striker a job to do. And if he doesn't do it, then Tierney can open the game up. So, I mean, and you've seen last night, he's obviously got that ability. I think he does the same for Arsenal as well. But just a side note, I thought Kenny McLean was brilliant last night. I know that's a bit off topic, but I thought he was he kind of went a bit unnoticed, but I thought everything he did was brilliant. And obviously with Robertson and McGinn and Tierney doing so well, I thought McLean was brilliant as well.
Good stuff, James. That was a pleasure. James in Kings Park, 01419511025, if you want to join in. What about those 3 assists for Kieran Tierney? And what about John McGinn? We're going to hear more from Stevie Clark and hopefully you after these.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel, former Raith Rovers striker, Ayr manager, joins us in the studio. Mark Wilson, Celtic's Mark Wilson. You may also know him as the voice of Endrick's Vets, Mark's car showroom. And what was the French restaurant called again?
I can't remember.
There was a party in your mouth and everyone was invited. That's the line that stood
that's
out for me.
The worst line.
I must admit.
Oh, it's been a busy week.
Hendrick's Vet's still warming the cats, all right, yeah? Good, brilliant.
Yes.
If you're wondering what on earth we're on about, one more time. I'll give it one more push since it's the first time.
No.
It's the first time we've seen him since.
I've heard that.
Go, no, I'm not going to play it, don't worry.
Good.
I'm going to say go to Twitter at Clyde SSB. You will find the video of when we stitched Mark Wilson up. And got them to record voiceovers for some fake adverts, and they were incredible. Have you had a good reaction? Have you been getting pressed up for that?
Well, I've had a busy week to say the least. Phone's been red hot. Anybody I see, anybody, any human I see mentions it. So safe to say, a lot of people listen to this show. Yeah.
The good thing is, it's ended in a little bit of misery for Gordon DL, hasn't it? Because producer Callum felt sorry for Mark. He stitched him up. He was the one that orchestrated it all. So he bought him a wee gift, right? Just to say thanks for being a good sport. Not everyone would have done it. Some non-alcoholic beer, I think it was. It must have been. And some golf balls. The variety which Gordon Dale liked. And you should have seen his face when he walked in and saw that somebody was getting a present. Somebody was getting something for free. And it wasn't him. Proper spat the dummy.
No, yeah, I said, that's very kind of Callum, the producer.
Where's mine, you said?
No, I did not.
You did. You threw it back in his face. You said, it was my birthday last week, and all you got me was a pair of socks.
That's at me on the back. He is so selfish.
Well, what disappointed me more was I sat there quietly, and there's two sleeves of golf balls. What would you normally do?
But why? This is not about you.
Because we're
that's
friends. We're friends in a Thursday.
He's not here for you. Slaughter him from the minute we come in.
Anything he gets in a Thursday.
Listen, I didn't hear you being that friendly when the adverts were getting played.
Exactly.
And you could not speak for laughing. You weren't so friendly then, were you?
Well, I was only joining in as part of the team.
It has been quite something. You know, we got a call on Saturday night after we played them out from a genuinely very concerned gentleman who said he's listened to this show for years, decades. And that was him. He was turning off. He was never going to listen because he felt so sorry for you. And he said, what about Mark's family? Mark's family are going to be so embarrassed. They're going to have, how can Mark look his family in the eye? That's what he said.
Let me tell you about my family, how they deal with it. They could not stop laughing, rolling about laughing. My dad phoned me as soon as I left the studio, says, what an idiot you are falling for that. But it was brilliant. My son was obsessed with the video, telling me how many hits it had and urging me to watch it. Listen, thanks for your concern, but I don't think you need to worry about my family and embarrassment. They loved it.
I'm Celtic's Mark Wilson. Please step away from the car. Right, 01419511025. Right, any more on Scotland last night? Then we'll move on, because my goodness, we have a lot to get through. Celtic fans, how are you feeling? Looks like contact's been made with Eddie Howe. Are you happy with that? What about the fact that Scott Brown admitting he is leaving partly because of managerial uncertainty? And Rangers fans, the transfer window isn't even open, but how good a signing is that? Alan McGregor with a contract extension. Let's hear a bit more from Stevie Clark. As we said earlier, it was three assists for Kieran Tierney and a double for John McGinn of goals. The manager says there are some special players in the squad.
Disappointed with John tonight. I left him on to get his hat trick and he didn't get any more chances. So listen, John's important. He's a midfield player that arrives in the box. His timing's good. His timing in the first goal was excellent. Great cutback for Keith. Good little move down the left, and we had a lot of good moves down the left tonight. Good finish, as you would expect from Johnny. And then obviously that he arrives for the cross for his second goal. Good header. It's what John McGinn does for us. That's why we use him as an attacking midfield player. In recent matches, Kieran and Andy have struck up a good partnership where they can rotate and Kieran can get past Andy on the outside and Andy can drop in. Andy had a good assist as well tonight. It's difficult to pick out the smallest guy in the box with a cross, but he managed to do it. Team was good. Kieran was good. Andy was good. I thought we were decent tonight against a tough opposition, but a game that we expected to win.
John is on the line. What did you make of it last night, John?
Hi, Gordon and Mark. How you doing, guys?
Hi, John.
I came on last night, but I didn't get on, and I said about going more attacking, but Gordon and Mark, I think this is the way Scotland should play against teams like Israel, etc. Because I think sometimes we give them too much respect. Last night, as you've touched on, the Faroes are no mug and they created a few chances. But Scotland going forward last night were brilliant, and as I said to the producer guy there, Kieran Tierney, he could, to me, he can pick his club when he wanted to leave Arsenal, and I just hope Celtic have got a sell-on fee for him, because I thought that guy just shows how world-class that boy is. But the first point, as I said, I think against teams like Israel and that, we should be more attack-minded because we've got the players to do it. Just wonder what you think.
Yeah, how does this leave us overall then, right? Because we've now got the triple header under our belts. Mm-hmm. What do you take away from that as a whole, not just last night? Is there frustration that it's not more than 5 points?
I was looking round about the seven, Gordon, but when you analyse the full three games, 5 points sitting second, we're always going to have to get a result in Austria, because you would imagine Denmark are going to be the winners of this group.
Well, last night's result certainly suggests
yeah,
so.
Yeah, so you're going to imagine that we're all playing for second. So sitting here in second place, would I like 2 more points? Of course I would have. But I thought that, you know, the fact that McGinn last night, I thought was brilliant in that position. I thought there was, you know, you look at McTominay getting back into the back three. The range of his passing was incredible. I think we've added that bit of urgency, pace through the middle with Adams. He's got his goal. I just think last night sort of topped off. I think everybody goes back to Israel saying that's a disappointment, of course, but there's 3 games. Can't all be perfect. I think there's a lot of positives, and I'm glad that Steve Clarke's saying, and he's come out openly talking about it, saying, look, we've got things to work on, and that's good, because Faroes could have scored last night. Of course they could. But you look at our defenders taking so many chances. Like, Tierney played like it was a out with his mates down the park, didn't he? Just the minute he got the ball, he was away. He was away playing. And it was great that Steve Clarke's saying, well, you know, Robertson then could drop in and let Tierney go and play in that left. So that was a bonus as well. Adams has been a bonus. McGinn scoring goals up there is a bonus. I love Fraser. I think he brings so much. I think we've got a bit of pace and being positive. So yeah, as much as Israel was a bit disappointing, I still think, you know, 5 points is good.
Denmark have won 3 out of 3, Mark. They are scoring for fun. They've yet to concede, actually. Scored 14. So they've got 9 points. We are second on 5. Israel tucked and Austria behind us on 4. We keep saying this, winning the group now looks pretty difficult. But that second place, looking towards a playoff, you're round about the 21 point mark.
Yeah.
So we're maybe a little bit behind where we need to be. But if you want to spin it the other way, we're unbeaten. We've got the 5 points. We are in second place. What was more frustrating, failure to beat Israel away or failure to beat Austria at home?
Well, everybody says that it was Israel away, and I touched on it earlier. It's because the lie blows and the rankings, and we've played them so much, not much between the teams. But these away games are notoriously hard to deal with, and we've found it over the years hard to deal with. I think Austria were a quality side, but on the night, watching it, I think we could have played a lot better, and I still think we've got a lot more to give than we did in that first game. And the triple header coming up in September, where we face Denmark away, it's going to be incredibly hard. But Moldova at home is a must win again. Then you go away to Austria, and I think if we put in a better performance, we can get a positive result. So look, there's work to be done, but I don't think it's a disaster. I've seen other campaigns that start way worse than this one, so we're still in with a fighting chance. But it will be difficult. But the more these players play together, I think the better they get. And they've got the Euros, a few friendlies and the Euros to negotiate that and get themselves in a better place than they probably were against Austria in the first game.
John, you mentioned Kieran Tierney. You'll have watched him with your Celtic hat on. Are you surprised that he seems to be getting even better?
I've just watched the guy this year, and although Arsenal are a bit better now, but Arsenal were struggling, but as probably you guys have watched him too, the guy's been the best player for Arsenal every week. You know, he's in there with superstars like Aubameyang and Lacazette and all that, and the young boy, he seems to just get better and better. And as that boy a couple of calls ago said, his pace over the 5 yards is phenomenal. You know what I mean? Reminds me a bit of you, Dazza, back in the day.
That's it, John. Yes.
Jeez.
Unfortunately, I didn't play for Arsenal. I played for a bigger club.
Air?
Who?
Raith Rovers?
The City.
All right.
The City.
The reserves don't count. Come on, behave yourself. The John McGinn. It's strange that John McGinn's performance somehow has been overshadowed a little bit by Kieran Tierney's because of the 3 assists. John McGinn scored twice. I saw our resident Stato, Andrew McLean, our colleague, putting up last night that John McGinn has scored 41% of Stevie Clark's Scotland goals.
Has he?
Almost half. Just that's almost half. That's just to clarify that.
Yeah.
Which is a ridiculous return for a guy that's not even for anyone to do it. But he's also not a striker.
It's unbelievable the positions he takes up. And before you have a go at me, remember it was him that fell for all the pranks.
Who? Celtic's Mark Wilson?
There's a party in my mouth. You've got to say that it depends on the position. For I think McGinn can play anywhere in the middle of the park, right? But see last night, that just playing in behind and having the licence to go. His movement for the first goal is brilliant. You know, he does. Midfield players can go too early, take their cell out. Tierney and him link up great. I've got to say, they've got great understanding. And he's very composed when he finishes, Gordon.
Yeah.
He's very composed. You see him, because sometimes that was a difficult first one was a difficult finish for any player at all. And he's composed with it. And even his header, it's a downward header. He knows where he's putting it. McGinn's been absolute superb.
Has he had a bad game for Scotland yet? See, think how many caps he got.
He's had ones that are a little bit quieter, certainly, as they all have, because we've had off nights. And you look at, I'm pretty sure he doesn't think the Israel game would rank particularly highly, but I mean the return seems, over the pieces.
Yeah, he never seems to fall below a certain level.
31 caps.
31 caps, and out of that, I think he's been our main standout in most of those games, and that's why probably people are starting to just assume that he's going to turn up in the big stage.
I think it's now up to 32, and I think is that 10 goals. But either way, I mean that would be a decent return for. A striker at international level. We're not exactly prolific. We don't run over the top of teams. We're a kind of smaller nation. Is he turning into our match winner? Our
talisman. You can count on him. You can play him, as Daz says, anywhere. You could even, you know, things aren't going your way, you could put him more defensive, but certainly in that role. In games like last night, where you need something to happen, he's the guy. It always seems to be dragging people along with him, getting a goal at the right time. Again, he's like Tierney. He's getting better and better. He's flourished since going to the Premier League, and he's going to be such an important player for us at the Euros.
Cracking insight last night. We had Stephen McGinn. We had John's brother on the show, and he was mid sentence. He was talking about how good the relationship between Tierney and his brother was. And as he's saying it, I'm watching the TV behind him, and I can see Kieran Tierney cutting the ball back, and McGinn sweeps it into the back of the net. It was funny though, because he clearly knew the team when he came in. And he was clearly a bit panicked that we were going to try and get out of it and get the exclusive. Yeah. We wouldn't want to give it away.
Did they give it away?
Well, I think it was fairly obvious. He'd shown his hand too many times. Mm. So we then asked Andy Halliday to predict the team who got it bang on, Ryan Fraser at wing back. So he'd clearly given too much away.
Well, hold on a minute. Is Halliday probably trains next to where Scotland.
He did mention that as well. Did at he? Orium. He did mention that.
He's standing he's been looking through the window. You'll not get those guys with the adverts. They're too smart for yous.
Yeah, exactly. We also touched on it with Stephen Mark that not really conventional number 10, John McGinn. You know, he's not that he's not what you would expect for that position, but do we get the best out of him the further forward we play him for Scotland?
I think so, without doubt. You know, at his club team, he's got a guy there who, you know, in Grealish ahead of him, who is very difficult to knock out of that position, but he does a great job as a sitting midfielder there. But when we've got him in this kind of form, goal scoring form, every game he goes into and he scores another goal, gets that wee bit extra bit of confidence in that position. I think he's got to stay in that position.
I think what's missed just quickly, Gordon, is as much as his goals and his movement, it's the pressure. He's the first guy to put the pressure on. He triggers that and everybody else follows.
Yeah, we are on Twitter as well. TJ says Robertson might be the captain, but there's no question it's Tierney's team. He's the leader by a mile. I don't think we should get too overly pleased though against the Faroes. William Donachie, did Scotland invent a new position last night with the centre half winger Tierney confidently pushing forward with Hanley covering? Loved it. Sheffield United did something similar, didn't they? Kind of overlapping centre backs last season,
but not as well as us though.
Exactly. Yeah, we'll trademark it. Right, thank you John. 01419511025. Alan McGregor has signed a new contract at Rangers. Rangers fans, just how pleased are you with that news? Will you make a better signing this summer? Perhaps, you tell us.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. 01419511025 in the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Right, what about this news today? Rangers have announced goalkeeper Alan McGregor signed a contract extension with the club, committing until the summer of 2022. Sometimes the debates are unpredictable, Gordon. I would wager a small fee in aid of Cash for Kids. I don't think any Rangers fans will be unhappy at that news.
I think
quite the opposite.
I think they'll be over the moon, Gordon, to be honest with you. And you've got to say, well deserved. He's been absolutely brilliant since he came back. There's no surprise. People can look at ages, but goalkeepers, they go on and on and on. And Alan McGregor is a very experienced goalkeeper that will know that he can still play to that level, the top level, week in, week out. So that is a terrific piece of business for Rangers, and I think every Rangers fan down the country will be over him.
John is a Rangers fan from Cambuslang. How good is that news for you, John?
That's brilliant news. Evening, Gordon, Mark. Okay. First of all, before I run to my point, I wish my mum and dad a happy 40th anniversary this weekend.
Absolutely.
Rab and Denise.
Congratulations, that's some innings. I won't ask Gordon Dale for his thoughts on that type of longevity, John. He could only dream of that.
Yeah, but as I say, brilliant news, he signed a new contract. Maybe when he came back, there's one or two fans, maybe because of the way he left, like a couple other Rangers players, that maybe weren't happy he was back, but he's put that to bed and some. There's some games, maybe after January, go 1-0. A couple of games, and some of the games, the safety was pulling off in the first 5-10 minutes, was keeping us in the game before we got that man goal. And that's some of the games that I've won as a league this year. I know there was at the start of the season we're winning 3s and 4s and 5s and whatever, but the other games that won in the league, the 1-0, just keeping it tight. You could always rely on him, and Europe as well, for the last 3 seasons. So many games he's kept us in it, and he's one of the main reasons we were in Europe. And him signing a new contract, it is absolutely brilliant. I always knew he would, but when you finally done it in April Fool's Day, you're still didn't believe it. So for me, absolutely brilliant. It's kind of every time he signs a new contract, it's like a new signing for Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, John, we keep mentioning this and that idea. You know, goalies can play a bit longer, so we get that. But would you go as far to say is he better than he was in his first spell? Is this actually Alan McGregor at peak performance at the moment?
Definitely. Yeah. There were some games, obviously, when we got to the UEFA Cup final. Unfortunately, he didn't play because of things that happened when he's away with Scotland. But he goes to that final, and I was gutted he never played. But obviously, Walter Smith had to show he was a boss, and he had to show like fans that no teams, no players bigger than the team. But in general, I think he has. I think he's got better wage. He went to England, he went all to Turkey, and I watched some of the games he played for Hull and other teams, and he was keeping him in games as well. And I think he's matured wage, and I think he could probably play another couple of years after this season.
Gordon, it was always a no-brainer for Rangers. I wonder, and only the man himself will know this, if there was a time, maybe at the start of the season, where he thought, yeah, this will be my last season, and maybe I'll just leave it here. Then when it goes on, and then you win the league, and then you've got another crack at the Champions League, do you think that played a part? I mean, John's going to say, I always thought he would sign. I wonder if that is the case.
Yeah, when you get to a certain age, you look at season by season, Gordon, and you think, right, okay, if he had a... For instance, if Alan McGregor had a poor season and Rangers didn't win the league and the European campaign wasn't that good, he might have just looked and thought, you know what, enough's enough. I've had a great innings. I've been at a club that, you know, I've been delighted to represent for years and the amount of appearances. And he may have just bowed out that way. But I think the fact that they're talking even three of them for player of the year, him, Davis, and obviously Tavernier. So it shows you the sort of season that he's had. And I think McGregor, looking at his performances, I've never looked and thought, oh, he's getting to that stage where he needs to start thinking about retirement or getting into goalie coaching, whatever it may be. He can still play at a top level.
Just a small point regarding that UEFA Cup final, John. I think it was just an ankle injury. I think that's why he didn't play against Zenit at St. Petersburg. I don't think it was directly linked to the Scotland incident. Could be wrong, but that's certainly the way I remember it. And Mark, you played against him first spell.
Yeah.
Is he as good now? Is he better now? Is he better then?
I've got to say, he was pretty good in his first spell as well. I remember games that he would pull Rangers out of hole so many occasions. Look, he was outstanding then, but You know, as I would say it as a surprise, just because the age of him, you know, and coming back to a club, you never, when you look at players over the board, when they come back again for a second spell at a club, very rarely are they as good or better. And I think that's a surprise that he has not went backwards. He's made some unbelievable saves. And it's right that he stays on. I think Daz is spot on when he says it's about Alan McGregor, his enjoyment levels. If he was still enjoying it, and his physical levels, if he still feels that he can get a bit the goal. Because if he's waking up every morning and he's in pain, he's at the stage now that he could just say, no, it's not for me, I would retire. But he's obviously feeling physically fine. And when you win the league, you get a good European run, you're obviously enjoying it every day. So it's a no-brainer. And it could be the sign of the season. I mean, what price do you put on a top goalkeeper? Seen it across Celtic, they went for a £5 million guy that hasn't worked out, and it was the start of their disastrous season. Well, Rangers have done the business early again and got him signed up for this year, and it could be their best sign.
John, has he been Steven Gerrard's best signing at the club?
Well, I would say it was one of them, and I apologise if I got that wrong about the final, but there's been a few. Obviously, the Glenn Kamaras, the Steve Davis, the Alan McGregor, but he's up there. I think it was one of his first signings when he came back. So even the first season, there was a couple of wee stupid incidents where he's getting involved in things, we kicking it, but all that's went for his game, which I'm happy with, because a couple of times we lost him for a couple of games. A wee bit like Morales, when he gets involved in stuff he shouldn't have, so he's better playing for us and been in the stands spending anyway.
He's still an angry man. I think that's all right to say, isn't it? He's good pal, yeah. Andy Halliday comes into the studio and tells us in no uncertain terms
you've still got to have the fire in your belly. That's what they say in football. When the minute that fire goes out, that's the time to retire.
We are on Twitter. David Black says he had to check the Twitter handle in time to make sure it was legitimate before getting excited. Why is life like this? He says, yeah, coming on April Fool's Day. Christopher Smith, great, massive signing for next season. Rab says that's the two best signings already in for next season, in McGregor and Davis. Superb, says Rab. So anyway,
did you say McGregor?
Did I say that?
Yeah,
McGregor and Davis.
He's a good sign as well.
McGregor, did I say this?
McGregor.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
McGregor and Davis. Do you know, I was distracted because someone called Kate, and I'm turning your mic off. I just don't trust you to respond to this. Kate just phoned in quite simply to ask how old is Gordon DL, and the producer said he's 59, and she said as long as he's under 60, that works for me. I've just turned the mic off because I don't like where that's going. But I thought it was worth mentioning. That's why I was distracted. That's why I invented McGregor. All right, we're over that. Brilliant. Thank you, John, in Cambus Lang. Alex is a little bit outside Cambus Lang. He's in Canada, New Brunswick to be precise. Alex, how pleased are you at that Alan McGregor news?
I'm absolutely delighted. I think it's been a fantastic signing. I think we should have signed him for 2 years, because I still think he's got the fire in his belly, like Gordon was saying. You know, you watch the way he's training, you know what I mean? He's diving all over the place and stuff like that. Rangers put up a lot of training videos nowadays on YouTube and stuff like that, so you can see them training. He still looks very spry. You know, I think it's an excellent sign. I think it was always going to happen. It was just a case of when Alan wanted it to happen. You know, but for us, I would have signed him for 2 years, because I still think he's got it. You know, especially, I think he could have played for Scotland. You know what I mean? I think he could have got a couple of those goals the other night for Scotland. I know he doesn't want for Scotland, and David Marshall's done a good job for us, but I still think Alan McGregor could play at international level. And my second point is, I would like to make is, I'm hoping all the rumours I hear about Roy Keane, because over here in North America, it's Roy Keane at the moment, and I would love Roy Keane to come to Celtic, because he's guff. He's absolutely terrible. You know, he couldn't run a menage. You know what I mean? So I would love him to come to Celtic. You know what I mean? He rips Celtic apart.
Well, I mean, it looks Eddie Howe now to be in the driving seat. Yeah. We will get into that a bit more in the second hour. In the interest of time, Alex says, you know, Alan McGregor should have given him a 2-year deal. I wonder if, in to go against what usually happens, could that have been the player's choice? Could it have been that actually he thought that this was maybe his last season, and it's right, okay, one more crack at the Champions League?
I think Alex is right. I think this has been on McGregor's terms. I think it was always going to happen from Rangers, but Alan McGregor's calling the shots here. And you're right, Gordon, that is unusual. A player at that age, they're usually grasping on, wanting every last year they can get. I think Alan McGregor's in the driving seat for his own future at Rangers.
Alex, that was a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time tonight.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, your chance to beat the Pundit is up next. You need to get that call in before 7 o'clock though, so be quick. 0141 951 1025. You could take on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here. 0141 951 1025 to make your point to the guys. We kicked off talking about the Scotland game last night. Lots of praise for Kieran Tierney, John McGinn. Lots of people wanting to keep their feet on the ground. It's only the Faroe Islands we keep hearing. We also looked at Alan McGregor's situation, a new contract extension with the Rangers. So keep your calls coming in them. Celtic fans, this is the perfect time for you to step up. What a big day it's been. Scott Brown admitting the managerial uncertainty did play a part in his decision to join Aberdeen. What do you make of that? And perhaps more significantly, Eddie Howe contacted regarding the job. Does that excite you or not? This is the perfect time to let us know. 01419511025. We'll talk about that next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. There is all sorts going on Twitter. You know, I mentioned the other day that we've got a bit of a turf war because Black Arthur emerged as the original stats man for Beat the Pundit, keeping a record of y'all, and he's very good at it. And now we've got rivals to that. Gordon DL's stupendous snout is trying to get in the action. He's trying to get in the action along with Celtic's Mark Wilson. Now these two parody Twitter accounts are owned by the same person. He says, yes, Hannah Mann said on Tuesday, I own both accounts, this guy.
So
he's just obviously got a lot of spare time. That's okay, I don't judge. It's absolutely fine.
Arthur will not be happy.
He's good as well. I mean, he's up in his game as well. You know, he's been sending quite a lot in him. He's got a poll going up. Who's got the better managerial winning percentage, Wilson at Airdrie or DL at Air? What is the answer to that, I wonder?
Here's the answer. It's no Wilson there.
He's also written to. He said, fun fact,
agree with that.
Mark Wilson's longest winning streak in Beat the Pundit this year is only one game.
Is that right?
Which is half of your longest winning streak at Brechin, which was two wins against Stirling Albion and Cowdenbeath.
Ah, the good old days.
Right, Stuart in Hillington, how are you?
Not too bad. How's yourself?
You can embarrass one of these two, surely, Stuart.
Oh, I'm hoping so.
Ah, good. That's what I like to hear. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Gordon DL. Let's see how it goes. Oh, and it's tails. You're off the hook, Mark Wilson. It's you. You've played loads this year.
Yeah.
I'm sick fed up of seeing you play Beat the Pundit, to be honest. I'm going to give you Clyde 2. It is Clyde 2 this week.
Get some of that music
to listen to. Right, he can't hear you anymore, Stuart. 30 seconds on the clock. Head to head. And you can pass. You ready to go?
Yep, let's do it.
Let's do it. 30 seconds starting now. Which Rangers player signed a 1-year contract extension today?
McGregor.
Which Italian top flight team has changed the club crest this week?
Enter.
Who scored Scotland's fourth goal last night?
Fraser.
Who was the last Scottish top flight manager who was not from the UK or Ireland?
Pass.
What continent are the Faroe Islands in?
Europe.
Which top flight manager has been announced SPFL Manager of the Month to date?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring... Well, I thought that was alright. Don't be too hard on yourself. Let's bring Gordon DL back.
Yes, ready.
You got us. Definitely Clyde 2 this week.
Definitely, yes.
Okay. Wasn't the 7 o'clock
I preferred the last week.
Wasn't the 7 o'clock preview?
No, I preferred that last week.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Same set of questions to you. Let's go. Which Rangers player signed a 1-year contract
McGregor.
Extension today? Which Italian top flight team has changed their club crest?
Napoli.
Who scored Scotland's fourth goal last night?
Ryan Fraser.
Who is the last Scottish top flight manager who was not from the UK or Ireland?
Ronnie Dyla.
What continent are the Faroe Islands in?
Pass.
Which top flight manager is this SPFL Manager of the Month today?
Today? Steven Gerrard.
What team is Joe Shaughnessy the club captain of?
Simon.
Okay, Stuart, have you done enough?
Well, I'm possibly, I don't know. Maybe the last one got me. Yeah.
Let's find out. The Faroe Islands was getting him every day of the week, wasn't he?
I went blank.
He's learned his lesson, though, hasn't he? Because he just passed.
Yeah.
Rather than getting it horrifically wrong, he just passed. Right, let's go through it. The Rangers player who signed the extension is Alan McGregor, nice and easy. One each. The Italian top flight team, which has changed their club crest, Mark.
I don't know.
It is Inter Milan.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's a Stuart got that. He's 2-1 2-1 in front. Who scored Scotland's fourth goal last night? Ryan Fraser. Both got it. Stuart still one in front. Who was the last Scottish top flight manager not from the UK or Ireland? That's a hard one. Angelo Alessio. Remember him?
Oh come on, I would never have got that. If Stuart gets that, give him the ball.
He
now.
Didn't get it. I think he passed it. What continent are the Faroe Islands in? I would have put my life savings, not got very much, but I would have put it all on you getting that wrong, and you did. Stuart got it right. Europe.
We just played them,
obviously, because we played them in the European.
Oh, I never even thought.
Of course you didn't. Honestly, what chance have you got? Right, the manager of the month is Callum Davidson. None of you got it. And Joe Shaughnessy is the captain of St Mirren. So you got that, Gordon DL, but that was a 3 for you, and it was a 4 for Stuart Millington. Well done, Stuart.
Well done, Stu. Well deserved.
Good man, Stuart. The sign ball is on its way. You're having a nightmare.
Oh, look, he's got it.
I can't believe
the Faroe Islands, yeah.
I can't believe that.
Well, I can.
Do you know what continents are?
No, leave them. Honestly, it's not.
It's not the things in Countdown that Carol Vorderman puts up. That's continents.
Right, let's leave it there. Okay, 01419511025. Celtic fans keen to hear from you right now on, well, various things. Eddie Howe, yes, happy with that development today. Scott Brown, first time we've heard from him after announcing that move to Aberdeen. Now, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by a special guest at the moment, who is the Cove Rangers manager, Paul Hartley. Paul, how's it going? Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks. All good, thanks.
Good stuff. Sorry you had to put up with Wilson and DL there during that quiz.
That's utter nonsense.
That will ruin anybody's night. You are going to Ibrox in the Cup.
Yeah.
How does it feel going into that fixture? Because it's under pretty strange circumstances, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously. The first thing is there's no fans here, which is disappointing for our players and our club in terms of finances and atmosphere. We're only back 2 weeks with a 10-week sort of layoff, so we're having to cram two weeks of training in, and obviously we had 3 games, so games are building up. We're Tuesday night, we're Sunday late kick-off, and then we're back Tuesday night again down at Clyde, so a little bit hectic, but look, we're back playing, and I think that's the most important thing.
What is that schedule like? Is it? I mean, it's probably too early to be taking its toll, but how difficult is that going to be? Because you may be of a mind to try and use a squad, but you know, Cove going to Ibrox, it's not exactly the type of fixture you would want to you know, play fringe players, for instance.
Yeah, but I've got to look at the game 48 hours later.
Yeah,
I think for us is the league is the most important. Obviously, the fairy tale of the Scottish Cup, and everybody wants to play against Rangers. It's live in telly. It's at Ibrox. But I've got to have one eye on the game on Tuesday, so I've just tried to pick the right team for both games. Got to try and get the team right for Sunday. It's going to be a difficult match for us. There's no doubt about it. We're going to be using a lot of energy up. We've got to have to play without the ball for large periods of the game, the way that Rangers play, because I think they'll be as strong as they can. And I've got to look at the game on Tuesday night. You know, it's a quick turnaround for us.
Yeah, Clyde on Tuesday, as Paul says, which take the geography into account as well, coming back down to this part of the world.
Yeah.
Paul, we kind of knew it was going to be like this. If we were going to have to finish the Scottish Cup, it was going to need to be squeezed in. Yeah. Is there still an enthusiasm there for the fixture? Can you still get the players up for it and not knowledge at the same time that it's not the priority?
Yeah, look, they're all excited. They all want to play. So I've got some tough decisions to make. You know, some guys might not play, might not get any minutes whatsoever. But I've just got to look at the bigger picture. We're all looking forward. It's the biggest game in the club's history for Cove Rangers. So we're pitting wits against a top team who have been outstanding in the league and even in Europe. So we go there, try and go there with a game plan to try and make it as difficult as we can. But our players are all excited. They all want to play. Some of them have not played at Ibrox before. I say it's the biggest game in the club's history. Financially, we won't make as much money as we thought we would have made, you know, years gone by. with no supporters there.
What's the? I'm not expecting you to give all the game plan away, Paul. But what's that process like? Because I'm thinking in the last couple of days we've had, you know, international football, which inevitably you see lots of kind of smaller countries playing against overwhelming favourites, and they then need to come up with. Are those the type of games you would ever look at to try and find something you could replicate?
I actually watched the Scotland Faroe Islands last night because I thought the Faroe Islands would be out of possession most of the game. So we quickly looked at that last night and said how are they going to defend off the ball? So yeah, you look at that. But you know, I'll only have one training session tomorrow night with the lads, and we'll try and show them footage of Rangers over the last couple of weeks, and then we'll work on some stuff. And then when we go there, you know, we've just got to go there and do our best. That's all we can do, and hopefully put a good performance on. That's all I'm asking of the lads.
Yeah, how do you instill that? How do you make it that it doesn't become too daunting? Because under any circumstances, you're going to, you know, the best team in the country, they've won the league, so that is daunting. But you guys haven't been able to play a lot, and you've not been able to train a lot, and you do have bigger fish to fry, so to speak. How do you make sure the players don't become overwhelmed by it, or does it help the fact there's no crowd?
Possibly, but just try and give them clear instructions. This is what they have to do, this is their job. We've got some good players, a good team, they play a certain style. Probably the first time this season where we probably won't dominate the ball. Most of the games we've played in this year, we've dominated possession. Different scenario for us tomorrow on Sunday. But the players, they'll be fine. They'll look forward to it. As I said, it's the biggest game in some of their careers so far. But we've just got to go there and try and be as relaxed as possible and give it a right good go. As I said, we've got some good players, we've got some young players, we've got some experienced players.
Paul, that's what I was going to actually ask you, and Gordon touched on it as well. I mean, the amount of times my Brechin side played against you, and I watched videos of your games against other teams, and I seen your setup, didn't change much, you know, from last season in the league to a friendly this season. All your players knew their job down to a T, and like you say, they're good players. Do you still go with that same system, or will you go more defensive?
No, look, we know we'll have to have a good organisation, a good shape about us, but when we get the ball, just go and play for the lads, just go and express himself. I don't want to change the mentality too much. You know, when we have the ball, we've got to try and do something at the top end of the pitch, so the structure won't really change. It's just say, look, when we're in possession, can we keep it? Can we do something with it? Can we get bodies forward? And can we go and have a right go? And if you get an opportunity, you've got to go and try and take it. So, oh look, the team talk will be pretty simple. And so we'll do some work tomorrow night, show some footage, and then just say, look, here's how it is. Go and try and put a good performance on.
Yeah, that's certainly one we're looking forward to. Spread out across the weekend. That is Sunday evening, remember. Celtic Falkirk Saturday evening. A whole host on Saturday afternoon as well. Paul, before we let you go, if you don't mind, I'll try and take the Cove hat off just for a second, because we're about to hear from a man you know well, Scott Brown, talking about that move to Aberdeen. You know him well, you know both of those clubs well. What have you made of that kind of news in the last week or two?
I think it's an outstanding signing for Aberdeen. They're getting a player that I think can still go and play for another couple of years. He's looked after himself. He's a good leader, which I think they need. He's a good organiser, but he's a good player. And I think he'll get the respect as soon as he's in the door. No, it's obviously a little bit of a coaching role, but I think Scott will mainly play there and one eye on the coaching side, but I think he's going in there to play, and I think he'll help the younger players, Ferguson's and McCrory's of this world, to get that type of leadership in. And what he is, he's a winner. He brings a winning mentality to the dressing room and to the pitch, and he's got really high standards, so I think it's a good bit of business by Aberdeen.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was talking today saying that the uncertainty about the next manager was part of that decision. I guess it's unavoidable if Celtic, you know, didn't have a manager in mind or couldn't get it over the line. But what do you make of that? Might that turn out to be a frustration? Because in the fullness of time, whoever the new manager is might have said, oh, I would have loved Scott Brown to be part of this.
Yeah, possibly. But I think Scott's now maybe looking at, he's got a better chance of having more game time. And if a new manager does come in and Scott doesn't play as much, I still think he's got a lot to offer on the pitch. And if a new manager comes in at Celtic, whoever it's going to be, and he doesn't get any game time, then he will be frustrated. So I still think he's got a lot to offer. Sometimes you need a change. You need a little bit of a freshness and a different change, different environment. And I think Aberdeen have done a good bit of business here.
Yeah, the other kind of breaking news to that strand today, Paul, seems to be that contact's been made with Eddie Howe regarding the job. Is that one that, in your mind or your experience, you think should excite the Celtic fans?
Yeah, I mean, I was on with Mark in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and I said about, we're talking about different managers, and he asked me who I thought, and I thought Eddie Howe's name sprang to mind for myself in terms of the style that they play, and they had at Bournemouth. I like watching them playing. Reminded me a wee bit of Brendan Rodgers in terms of the coaching and the style of play that they had. So for me, it's if he goes to Celtic, then I think it's a strong appointment.
Paul, brilliant stuff. Thank you for joining us tonight. We wish you
Thanks,
well
guys.
At the weekend. That was Paul Hartley, Cove Rangers manager, looking ahead to that trip to Ibrox and giving us his expert insight on some other stuff as well. So much appreciated. Great stuff. Thank you to Paul. Right, Celtic fans, where are you? What do you make of that today? Eddie Howe, contact been made reportedly regarding the vacant managerial position. Is that good news for you? Yes or no? Pick up the phone and let us know. And what about this? What about these comments from Scott Brown today, saying that the decision to move to Aberdeen partly down to the uncertainty about the manager. This is the first time he's spoken, remember, since it's been announced that he'll join up with Stephen Glass at Pittodrie. And he says it was just the right move for him. Celtic fans, give us your thoughts.
I got offered another year at Celtic, so it was playing. It was a hard situation now because it'd have to be sit and wait to the end of the season, see who comes in. And for me, to have that fresh start with somebody that I know, I trust and I respect fully, and maybe sitting in a Celtic to the end of the season, not sure what to do or who's coming in, I think that kind of played on my mind as well. But as I say, it's going to be a sad time when I do leave, but it's been fantastic as well. I've enjoyed every single moment of it, and winning trophies, winning games, playing in front of some fantastic fans as well. I can't just go in there and run a dressing room and be the guy where I still believe that I can play football. Aberdeen offered me a 2-year deal, and it was an offer that I couldn't turn down.
What do you make of that, Mark Wilson?
Very honest for Scott Brown. He could have said a whole load of nothing there, if you like, and covered things up. But he was honest and said that the lack of announcements from Celtic, the lack of knowledge and news coming in, played a part in his decision. And he was pretty brave, because he could have just sat there, and it could have been the right man that came in. He could have clicked, and he might have played loads for Celtic, but he couldn't guarantee it. And Aberdeen equally couldn't wait for Scott Brown to last to the end of the season before getting a decision. They wanted their manager in, they wanted their coaching staff in, and take your hat off to them. They've pushed them to make a decision. And you know, it's Celtic's loss. Celtic came out last week, Peter Lowell, we tried everything in our power to keep him. They didn't announce the manager or the coaching staff quick enough to keep the captain. Can you blame Celtic? Well, Celtic have a duty to make sure they got the right manager as well. So I quite like that from Scott Brown. It's quite refreshing to hear him say, yes, it did weigh on my mind. It was an issue, and it was a big decision that he had to come to now, not in 6 weeks' time.
Yeah, not a big decision. I think it's a massive one for him. I think he used the words fresh start, Gordon. And Paul Hartley said it as well. Sometimes as a player, you've been at a club so long, you look and you think, right, what's another year going to do for me here? He's achieved everything. And he looks at Aberdeen, new manager coming in, new structure, the way the club's going to go, playing probably every week, getting into that coaching role, looking forward to being a manager himself. And I think he's came to the right decision for Scott Brown. And as much as it will hurt him, the only sad thing for him is I'd have loved him to go out in a blaze of glory in front of 60,000 people at Celtic Park, because he deserves that. But I'm not surprised he's taking on this new challenge.
That's what Mark and Gordon think. What's much more important is what you think. Give us a call right now, 01419511025. Celtic have approached Eddie Howe. They've held talks over succeeding Neil Lennon. Celtic fans, are you happy with that? Do you now believe he will become the new Celtic manager, or do you think there will be a twist in the tale? Let us know.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night. Two of the finest footballing brains in Europe, the world, the universe.
The world.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson will put their minds together and try and answer this question. It's that time of the year when these questions come out. I've got no doubt we've had at least a variation of this question before, but we'll see how we get on. Murray says, can you name the last seven non-Old Firm players to win the PFA Young Player of the Year award? Can you name the last seven non-Old Firm players to win the PFA Young Player of the Year?
Derek Riordan.
Derek Riordan, yes. Gordon Dale.
Struggling already. Stevie May.
Faroe Islands. Europe.
Stevie May wasn't one. Lewis Ferguson.
No. One more guess.
Stuart Armstrong.
No.
Mackay Stevens.
Oh no. No. Mackay
Gold.
No. None of them.
What?
None of them.
We'll just travesty. How none of them
won. Do you know what I think he's off tonight? Well, he's off every night, but why he's particularly off tonight? Do you hear about his traumatic evening?
What?
He's had to get the heated body warmer out again because he tried to close his window in the flat, and he's pulled the window handle clean off. And now it's stuck open and it's freezing, and he's had to charge the heated body warmer and sit with it on in the house.
Can't watching Corey with the body warmer.
I can't close the window.
Will we put a shout out for anyone who
any glazers,
glazers, locksmiths, who would it be? I don't know. They can come.
A handler. I need a handle.
Yeah.
You need a handle.
Yeah.
Incredible scenes.
I supervised a wall getting stripped, and I thought, right, that's great. You open the window, obviously, cause just to get the air in and everything. And then I pulls it I was freezing.
Gordon Dale in the flat, pulled it right off, so he did. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. At Clyde SSB on Twitter. We'll leave that teaser going on as well. You've got Derek Riordan, we're looking for the rest of them. We're talking Scott Brown, we're talking Eddie Howe. Fran is on Twitter. All the best to him for a player that cost a whopping 4.4 million. An absolute bargain. Not many players hang about long enough to play as many games or pick up as many cups. Well worthy of legendary status. Let's bring in Dominic, who is in Rutherglen. As a Celtic fan, Dominic, how do you feel hearing that? Scott Brown saying that, you know, some of the uncertainty about the manager played a part in him going to Aberdeen.
I don't buy that at all. I mean, Scott Brown's been a great servant for Celtic, there's no denying that. It's his comments, he's saying himself he's got more to offer as a player, which I agree with. He has got more to offer as a player, but definitely not with Celtic. I think his time at Celtic's up. He could definitely play. He's still got time to offer on the pitch, but as a Celtic player, and for the full rebuild that Celtic definitely need, Scott Brown leaving is a big factor in that. The full rebuild includes, in my eyes, losing Scott Brown as well.
Right, so you're not you think that he could maybe offer something on the pitch, but not for 2 years, for instance. And you don't think losing Scott Brown, the player, is that big a deal at the moment?
He can still play. He can definitely still play, but just not with Celtic. I mean, he can play elsewhere, but not with Celtic. I just think his time at Celtic was up a couple of seasons ago, and I just think he's still got things to offer on the pitch, but just not at Celtic as a player.
Yeah, fair enough. Mark, would you agree, disagree?
Look, I would disagree. I've already made my point clear on what I thought he could have brought to Celtic this year. But look, Dominic's point could be valid. Time will tell on this. You know, I think Scott Brown will play a large chunk of Aberdeen's games, and Celtic will need to replace Scott as a centre midfielder. Now, if a centre midfielder comes in that Celtic buy and plays every game and much better, we may stand back here this time next year and go, yeah, it's justified, and Scott may not play well. If it's on the flip side where Scott Brown, you know, plays incredibly well for Aberdeen, Celtic don't fill that void, then, you know, we'll see a different thing. But look, when Dominic's saying there it was done a couple of years ago, I don't agree with that. I do think Scott's performance has slipped along with the rest of the team. But I've mentioned, I don't think he was by far the worst player in Celtic. I think a lot of the criticism comes his way because he's been the leader for so many years and his standards have been so high. But I think even when his standards have slipped and he's dropped out of the team, the games he's came back in, Kilmarnock away where he scores the first goal, very good, and against Rangers, that there's been good points in there as well. So although his standards has slipped this season, I don't think they've slipped to what some people have made out.
Yeah, I do agree. I don't think that Scott Brown's time was up a few years ago. You can understand he's going to go to Aberdeen. He's a big role to play up there, Gordon, and he's looking at the bigger picture now. Whether a new manager, I don't think a new manager would have come in and Scott Brown would have played every week. I do agree with that. But Scott Brown, I think, even looking at when I was at the Celtic Rangers game, Old Firm game last time there, a couple of weeks ago, Scott Brown, you don't look at Scott Brown and think he's finished. He played as well as anybody else on the park. So, no, I think Scott Brown's decided to go down a different route now, and we wish him all the best with that, because there's a lot of coaching getting involved as well. But I think Scott Brown will keep playing, and I think he'll play an Aberdeen team every week, and I think he'll be a terrific asset to the Aberdeen team.
I mean, Dominic, there's a tweet here that says the hesitancy to appoint a new manager could come back to bite Celtic. If a new manager had been in the door, Scott Brown might have stayed. His leadership qualities will be sorely missed, especially when starting a rebuild. But you don't agree with any of that?
I think the rebuild that's required is that big, that it's such a big clear out needing that includes Scott Brown. I mean, hanging on to Scott Brown, would it be rebuilding the team around Scott Brown instead of Turnbull for another season again? It's just too big a clear out and too big a rebuild. And can I make one quick other point about Lee Griffiths?
Absolutely.
Obviously, it's a well-known fact that Scott Brown and Lee Griffiths are good friends, and just with the rumours of maybe him going to Aberdeen as well, Lee Griffiths for me has had absolutely nowhere near enough game time for me this season, and people keep saying he's not stepping up to the mark. He's had his troubles, he's had his fitness troubles, that's fine. He's not enough time to step up to the mark, and if he probably wants to stay at Celtic, and he will feel that if he gets a chance up, he'll be the main man at Aberdeen, he'll be banging them in, and fair play to him if he goes. But people keep telling him to step up to the mark. He's not had the chance to step up to the mark for me.
Yeah, I think he has also made that point, hasn't he? How can I get match sharp when I'm not playing games? Is there a bit of that? Do you need to earn that chance first? How do you do it?
Well, I'm with Dominic in terms of his ability, and I would have liked to have seen Lee Griffiths a whole lot more. But
I mean, for instance, just hard. as an aside to that, with this discussion we had at the start, is he going to the Euros? Is there any chance he goes to the Euros? Would it take a massive turnaround?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's had anywhere near the game time to merit an international call-up. You find it hard to argue with so many different managers over Lee Griffiths. They all can't be wrong. And as much as I would have liked to have seen him playing so much more, you know, and coming on earlier in games to make an impact, there must be an underlying reason. They can't all be wrong on this. And unfortunately, I think Lee Griffiths has been brilliant for Celtic, scored so many goals, but I do think he must sit there and think, I'm better than this, I need to play games. And Aberdeen might just be the team to give him that opportunity. And it might be, like Scott Brown, a change that he needs. You know, a new lease of life, go play 30, 40 games a season, score up in the regions of 25 goals a season, and get yourself back in the Scotland team. He's still young enough. Yeah, so might just be the time for Lee Griffiths. If there is a big rebuild, it might be the time for him to move on.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Dominic in Rutherglen. Good to speak to you, Dominic. What you two got on this teaser anymore? Just quickly,
David Goodwillie one?
Yes.
Oh, well done, hi. Craig Gordon?
No, okay, we'll leave it there. 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. What did you make of the fact, do you know what, we'll bring Michael in first, because I think it's going to be a similar point, so I don't want to steal Michael's thunder. Michael's calling in from Denny tonight. Michael, take it away.
Hi, guys. Hi. I was just on the subject of Scott Brown and the previous caller. Personally, I'll never get a chance to say thanks to Scott Brown, but I think the majority of the Celtic fans would love to say thanks for being an excellent captain. I think he's been an excellent player, and I don't think his time was up, you know, a couple of years ago, like Dominic said. I think he got Player of the Year in 2018 in Scotland, so, I mean, he was still doing it, and I still think if he had managed the game time at Celtic, he could have had a big influence, but I think Aberdeen have done well getting him. My other point was...
let's deal with that one first, Michael. Plenty of time. More than happy to discuss your other points as well. So the tweet I just read out, Dominic wasn't having it at all, but the other tweet that came in, said that the hesitancy to appoint the new manager could come back to bite Celtic. You know, Scott Brown could have stayed. Is that the way, do you buy into that, or what do you think?
I think if Scott Brown's time on the park was managed a bit better, I think you noticed this season when he had maybe a game or two rest, that the game that he came back and he looked sharper, he looked a bit fitter round about the park, and I thought he had better games. Like if he was to play every other game, that type of thing. And I know it's not as simple as that when you're trying to get some consistency in the squad, but I do think he could have still done a job for us. And I do want to say thank you if he's listening, because he's been excellent. And the Celtic fans, the majority of them love him. So thanks so much.
What about, just because we've not really heard that side of it, see Dominic's point where he said that as much as, certain qualities will be missed, is it not actually the perfect time? Because if your rebuild is massive, people keep saying to us, well, that's why you need Scott Brown, because you need continuity. Mm. You need something to kind of link the two eras together. But Dominic thinks the exact opposite. Well, you know, if you're clearing everyone out, this is the time to make the clean break. This is the time to stop relying on Scott Brown. This is the time to stop worrying about how you build things around him and how you use him.
I don't agree with, if Scott Brown was there, that things should be built round about him. I think he did have a role to play in integrating new people to the club, and even on the pitch, as a player. Let's take him as a player first and foremost. I think he could still perform. Look, it is a massive rebuild at Celtic. They have cleared out from top to bottom, really. The first day of pre-season, come July the 1st or whenever they're back, is going to be an interesting dressing room when, you know, there's so many new faces, from the chief exec to the head of recruitment to the director of football manager down to the captain, new players. It's going to look a whole different place. And will that be a better place without Scott Brown? Who knows? As I say, only time will tell.
The big news this afternoon, Michael, is that contact's been made between Celtic and Eddie Howe. Discussions regarding that managerial vacancy. Does that excite you, that news?
Yeah, I mean, I think Eddie Howe, he done well at Bournemouth, but I think his time kind of came to an end quite naturally. I think he had done as much as he could. And it does seem a little bit like Brendan Rodgers in that mould. And I think it is. I think it'd be a good appointment if they got him. There's one guy that I've said to my friends time and time again about that's never ever been mentioned is Steve Cooper, the Swansea City manager. He's kind of like Eddie Howe in terms of bringing through youth, and the style of play is attractive, and he's relatively young. I think that would have, I mean, if they had interviewed him, I know he's not a big name, but he's got Swansea City playing really well, and I think they're probably going to go up in automatic promotion from the English Championship. I just think that he would have been a good appointment. Can I just actually say on that Scott Brown point, by the way, see every other game, and if Scott Brown had been playing, and you noticed that he was sharper. There's one player in Celtic who looks so tired and needs a rest, and it's Callum McGregor. I mean, the amount of games he's played in the last four or five seasons, it's a great amount of games, like, but I think he should be rested a bit more. I think he's also someone that seems to get relied on a bit too much.
Good luck. That's the problem is, Michael, isn't it? That the Euros are coming up and he'll be going. The other guys get their break. Callum McGregor won't, and it'll be straight
non-stop
into Champions League qualifiers.
Yeah, non-stop for him for years. But I agree with Michael. It does look like it's taken a wee bit.
He played well last night, but maybe a different challenge.
Yeah, maybe he will go away Euros, have a wee extended break after that and come back a different player.
Someone, Michael, and I must admit, I can't remember if it was a caller or a pundit, some one time Steve Cooper's name was mentioned. Was he? Oh, look, I'm
on. No, but I wasn't on air. It was me in the office, I said to you. And I won't take credit for this, Gordon.
So hold on,
because
you saved your...
someone had mentioned to me.
Oh, right.
And said Steve Cooper. I had to go away and actually look
at
what he'd done.
I thought you were
going to
try and pretend that you save your best stuff for off air. I was telling you that.
I thought we were going to get another party in the mouth, but just didn't happen.
No, Steve Cooper's name was mentioned to me. I had to go away and look at it. And yeah,
what's
Michael's
your thoughts?
Hold on, because I think it looks like we're now past the stage of saying Cooper and Jesse Marsh and Maresca and Keane and Steve Clarke, you know, there was a time when we were just throwing everything out there. Davy Moyes, and someone phoned in for Derek McInnes, someone else phoned in for Xavi and Iniesta as a dream team, right? That's where it got to a couple of weeks ago. There is news today that Eddie Howe has been in discussions with Celtic. Michael says, yeah, like the style of play at Bournemouth. We heard Paul Hartley earlier again saying it would be the man for him. Just that, you know, because Brendan Rodgers has been so successful, you're not going to get the exact same, but is he in that mould? Put it this way, is he more in that mould than, say, Roy Keane would be, yeah?
Yeah, probably different stroke manager coaches, whatever you
different
work.
Different moulds, really.
Of course, yeah, personalities.
That's what I was trying to get.
Yeah, personalities, the way they would handle things. It depends on Celtic structure, but Eddie Howe, I think, would be a really popular appointment. I've heard a lot of good things about him. Even read today that he'd refused two English Premier League clubs. So, and he's talking to Celtic, which makes, you know, things are further down the line. You just wonder why, when he's been available, it's been taking so long. I know there's a lot of, you know, things to look at, and Eddie Howe's got to look at Celtic, got to talk to them to see what direction they want to go in. They obviously do their homework in Eddie Howe, but I think that would be a very good appointment. I think there's a lot of good coaches out there, a lot of good managers. It just depends on what Celtic structure is going to be and who fits in.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And I'm reading the day that Eddie Howe is doing his homework and looking into the club, and rightly so, because Celtic have been ripped apart from the top to the bottom, like I said earlier. Eddie Howe needs to know, if he's going to be manager, who is above him, who he reports to, who can actually get in the dugout with him to implement his plan, what's the structure underneath him in terms of coaching. There's so much that needs to be done. Who's his possibilities, what's the transfer kit he can get.
Are iPads still allowed in the dugout?
I think you'll know that that's not allowed in
all this. All the big questions. We ask all the big questions here. Michael, it was a pleasure to speak to you. That was Michael in Denny. Bobby Pollock has got a good few answers on this question that you two are looking at. The last seven non-Old Firm players to win PFA Young Player of the Year in Scotland. Gary was throwing one in, but that's wrong, I'm afraid. You've got Goodwillie, Riordan,
Turnbull.
No,
I'm going to go down.
No. Why is he not on the list?
Did he not win it last year?
Did he not win Player of the Year?
Or was that the
Football Writers?
Yes.
What about is did Griffiths won it?
Yeah, at Hibs, well done.
And here's another one. Did Aaron Hickey win it?
No, that's the one that Gary went for and got it wrong. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers and more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on to the home stretch tonight. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. Still time though to get your calls in. If you fancy it, pick up the phone and let us know what is on your mind. We're on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB, and it does look tonight as if Eddie Howe is very much the clear favourite in the driving seat, call it what you want, to become the new Celtic manager. By no means a done deal, but I like this tweet from Scott. He's getting ready to stick the knife into anyone who's got their predictions wrong. Scott says, what about your man that was on the other night? He said that Stevie Clarke was a cert for the Celtic job. He had a source, an ex-player, that told him we're going to need to get him back on the phone. And that's true. Everyone who came on with their big claims over who the new manager was going to be is going to need to hold their hands up if this Eddie Howe thing does indeed come to fruition. But we'll find out soon. Murray says, who are the last seven non-Old Firm players to win PFA Young Player of the Year? You've got Griffiths, Goodwillie and Riordan.
We're going to go for, Mark sent me up here, he went down the wing, crossed it, I fed her down. Naismith at Kilmarnock.
Yes, Stephen Naismith. Well done.
Okay. Andy Robertson.
Yes.
Yes.
Whatever happened to him?
I know.
So many is that, Gordon?
Five.
Yeah, you've got two to get.
Oh, that'll be different.
Mark Wilson was telling us during the break, because you know he keeps his best stuff for during the break, that he was on the shortlist when Derek Riordan won it in 04-05.
Oh, I was.
You picked right, it. The post.
Here's a story, actually. It's not a good story, but so at these Player of the Year things, you get nominated and your team, we'll go, but you need to still pay your money for your table. Mm-hmm. And the team at Dundee United didn't pay the money, so me and my dad were just joined on.
Oh, <the house table. laughs> and didn't even win
didn't
it.
Didn't win it, Riordan went up and got it. Didn't he pay it? There was me and my dad just sitting there.
His dad's like, that's my boy.
Not all his pals.
But half 11 don't know him.
Not a single pal at Dundee United. No, didn't they come. That's tragic.
Because you know why? Because they all knew I wasn't going to win it. Because Riordan was so far ahead, but they didn't even turn up for moral support. So there we go. Thanks, Dad, for coming. If you're listening, meant a lot.
I got a free night. Gully babies. There you go. I'm my boy. 7 o'clock. Nominate it.
10 o'clock. Never seen this guy before in my life.
Armand Derek Riordan. That's my boy.
Thought you deserved it.
Yeah, unbelievable, I like that. You done yourself a disservice. That was a great story. Anything about your misery and misfortune is good in my book. You've got two to get, so we'll see how you get on. Let's bring in Andy, who is a Rangers fan. Alan McGregor, new contract, Andy. How happy are you?
Oh, brilliant. I honestly think I said that a month ago, or 6 weeks ago, that he could be the player of the season. You know what I mean? No, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I heard the boys saying that. Keeper, he still looks hungry. I am delighted with that. But what I was going to ask you, the boys, was that next season, no up front, I know Depot, he wants to stay. Whether Rangers keeper or no, Morelos might go. Roof's a bit injury prone. So are the boys getting names that they think that Rangers should be looking at him for, just in case this happens? But Morelos, they must have, because I can't think anybody off the top of my head right now, but. And obviously, I think Anton's going to get a lot more starts now to the end of the season.
I mean, I get where Andy's coming from. Morelos may go. Roof is injury prone, but that's still quite a lot that needs to happen. Morelos needs to get the suitable bid. He needs to want it, and Roof might not be injury prone next season. Cedric Gittin might get better. Go on then. Answer Andy's question. I was going to let you wriggle out of it.
In terms of names, honestly, I think Steven Gerrard is almost kind of, prepared his squad for next season, never mind this season. So Eitan was said all throughout the season that his appearances were limited, but when he came on, he made a difference. And I think he will play a much bigger part next year. I think if Morelos isn't doing it for whatever reason or moves on, Eitan will get more game time. Roof, you're right. Roof may not be injury prone, but it's hard to pluck a name, because who would have thought a Roof or Eitan?
£1 million from Finland.
But the big thing is, if you're looking in Scotland, Mark, are there anybody that you're looking at now and think, well, people are
Nesbitt. If you're looking at in Scotland and young Scottish strikers talent that would score goals, listen, he's shown he can go to Hibs, score goals. It's different level going to Rangers, of course, but for anybody in Scotland, yeah, he's one.
It's early to start the conversation, Andy, but I don't mind it at all. Have you resigned to losing Morelos this summer?
No, I hope not. I definitely hope not. But just, I read about the papers about a month ago, and he was saying if somebody, and I think Rangers might be the same, if they come in with a really bid that they can't refuse, he might go. But I'm just hoping, because of the Champions League, they might just say, no, I'm going to stay for another season. I really hope he does, because we'll really miss him. You know what I mean? And I just hope that Jack and Tav's back for Sunday as well. I don't know if you heard any news about A2 or A2.
I think Rangers are doing their press tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll get an update from the club then. You mentioned Champions League, Andy, and that kind of carrot for Morelos. Do you think that was a part of Alan McGregor's decision? How big a part?
Oh, I think so. I really think so. I think he just wanted to show, hopefully, get out on a high, you know what I mean? Because he's outstanding. It just gets better and better. Can't really say. I think I heard Boy Eller once saying, was it better first time or second time? But I just think he's so consistent. You know what I mean? He's really consistent. So I'm really glad he's staying, and to show. I mean, who's to say that he's, so, I don't know if he's going to stay for another 2 years. Maybe you never know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 1 year deal, isn't it? And if it would be surprising, but you do, you never know. It's pretty easy to predict some of these, because when a player performs like that, Gordon, it's always going to be one way. Everyone is bound to be delighted. I don't think there's another side to this debate. You will not find a Rangers fan who thinks, oh no, we should have moved them on and found someone else. That's just not happening.
I think when deals like this come up, Gordon, you're looking at Scott Brown at Celtic, you're looking at Alan McGregor at Rangers. This is not about the club. This is about the individual. Scott Brown's decided he wants to go a different path, leave Celtic. Alan McGregor looks and thinks, yeah, another year. It's enjoyment for McGregor. He could easily go out in a massive high.
To be fair, I get the comparison, but rightly or wrongly, there is at least a debate on the phones. You've heard it tonight, even among Celtic fans. Some do think that Scott Brown's form is now at a stage where it wouldn't be the end of the world to move him on. Whereas McGregor's you're just not getting that at all.
Yeah, but I still think that it could have been very easy for Alan McGregor to say, do you know what? I'm getting out in a massive high, end of the season. But he obviously feels that, as Mark says, as a player you get to a stage, Gordon, that the body tells you in the morning that you're not looking forward to that training session. You're not looking forward to getting in there and working your body. You've got better things that you maybe want to rest and whatever. McGregor's at the stage where he's still looking. He still gets that excitement, getting up in the morning, getting into training. Loves getting in, looks forward to it, loves the hard work, looks forward to the match games, and he's performing brilliantly. So that answered his questions for him. For Rangers, it was an absolute no-brainer because he's a top-class goalkeeper. Mark made a great example that it's very easy to say, yeah, we've got a goalkeeper at 39 here. We might try and get a younger version in. Look at across the city, the problems that Celtic have had this season with goalkeepers. They ain't going to have that at Rangers with McGregor. They know what they're getting. Another year. He might go on for another two. We don't know. Just
the thing is, they've got a good number two as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so if there is days next year where McGregor age does creep up on them, you can take him out for a few weeks and you've got a reliable understudy to come in. So Rangers are in a great position because it's quite often the hardest position to fill in your team.
Yeah, thank you, Andy. On the phones, Koodles on Twitter says, good bit of business there. Best keeper in Scotland by a country mile. That's some of the views on Twitter coming into that one. You looking forward to the weekend's action? You heard about this? You heard about him?
What action you up to this weekend?
Football
on the show. He's out on his own. He's going to the game on his own.
Yeah, he told me. He's well happy with that.
He's going to Livy Wraith.
This could be that.
He says he's looking forward to the phone in after it as well.
Oh, you want to stay till 6?
No, not staying to 6.
No, stay because the weather, the lighter nights are coming in. Clocks have changed.
Let me just say,
get the body warmer on. Sit yourself down till 6 o'clock.
Let me just make this clear. See the minute I say, from the Tony Macaroni, it's Livingston X, Wraith Rovers X.
Engine started.
It's good night, Vienna.
You'll be looking forward to it. You're a Wraith Rovers legend. They were brilliant the other night when we watched them beat Dunfermline.
Well, Gordon,
you're saying how much you enjoyed watching Wraith the other night.
I thought it was a great advert for a championship. They're going to Livingston. I think Livingston will have looked at that and thought, hey, we're in for a game out here. So I think that'll be a good game. And you talk about the pitch, forget about the pitch. That's what Wraith playing. That's what turf.
Where is it going to fall apart? Getting out of his flat in the morning, tying his shoelaces, driving, finding the Tony Macaroni.
Finding's always a nightmare for me.
Setting up the equipment, getting the team news. There's so many stumbling blocks.
It's going to be great.
I don't know which one he's going to fall
at. Tony Macaroni, are you not the other side, are you? Yeah. From the tunnel?
Yeah.
So even getting round there, that'll be good.
I'm looking forward to it greatly. Might strap a GoPro to your nose and see if we can capture the full thing. See what's happening.
Wee Mowgli coming out of one night.
Right, so you've got two more to get on this teaser.
Oh, right. I said, Kevin McNaughton one? No.
No.
No. I thought going back a bit.
Yep, so we're looking for the last seven non-Old Firm players to win the PFA Young Player of the Year in Scotland. Cummings, no.
No, he didn't win it. Chris Boyd? No, did I say Chris Boyd?
Don't bother saying it.
Okay, take that back.
We need a
John McGinn.
I'm going Aberdeen's.
Nope, we're going back a bit.
Motherwell?
James McFadden.
Honestly, cannot believe McFadden. You didn't get that one. Ridiculous. 2002-03. Probably just missed out on the Ballon d'Or that year as well. And you two have forgotten that he's in. Honestly, ridiculous. Right, the last one was 08-09. And not Motherwell, but not far.
Hamilton.
MacArthur.
Right, which
McCarthy.
One?
MacArthur.
No, I'm going McCarthy.
Jamesy. James MacArthur.
No, it's McCarthy.
McCarthy.
Yeah, he got it. Well done.
Well done.
All right, thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel. Busy day that in Scottish football. We enjoyed it. Thank you so much for all your tweets, for all your calls. We always really, really appreciate it. And we're back tomorrow for more. 6 o'clock, building up to a huge weekend in the Scottish Cup. Good to hear from Hugh Keevans. He was texting me last. You can just imagine what he was texting. See when John McGinn scored last night, what do you think he fired up the Nokia to send that message about John McGinn. I'll ban him from repeating it on tomorrow night's show, but we'll hear from him, and hopefully we will hear from you at 6 o'clock. Johnny Campbell's up next.